excited to bring you evidence-based nutrition information focusing on addressing the root cause for imbalance. Food has the power to help you achieve lifelong, optimal health without the side effects of prescription medication. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. I am Stacy Seslowski, functional nutrition registered dietitian.
And I am Leah Grace Barrick, functional nutritionist.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Power of Food podcast. We have a very special guest with us today, Dr. Alka Patel. Dr. Patel has 20 years of experience as a medical doctor. Her drive to succeed professionally used to consume her life, and the consequential burnout almost killed her. After spending weeks in a hospital bed, she realized the importance of prioritizing her own health and nourishment. Dr. Alka now advocates for individuals and businesses alike to make compassionate lifestyle changes in order to foster health, happiness, and workplace wellness. She knows that health is not only an asset, but also a skill, and she hopes to help others discover, notice, and activate their own needs. Today, we're going to talk all about how to proactively live longer, healthier, and happier. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Patel.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to get chatting.
Well, we're so excited to have you. We have so many things that Stacy and I were chatting before we got on. We're really excited to dive into. We haven't really talked about any of this on the podcast yet, so this is really exciting and new for our listeners. And I would love to start off by you just telling us kind of how you got into this work on, you know, aging, age reversal, proactively living your life rather than kind of living it as a passenger, and kind of go from there.
Oh, that's a really good question to start with. I think for so many people, it is your pain that ultimately drives your passion. So many of us have backstories. So many people I talk to have stories that become their drivers. And for me, you alluded a little bit to it in that lovely intro, was very much that place of burnout that I found myself, that I didn't intend to find myself at all. I don't think people start with that intention when they're sort of driven to be the best mom and the best doctor and the best wife and the best friend, that all of that standard setting takes you to a place where you really do burn out and all your passion, that fire, is taken away from you. And it was through that that I think I discovered that actually I didn't know how to resolve. I didn't know how to get better. I didn't know how to get back on my feet. As you said, I was in hospital for quite some time with sort of multi-organ shutdown, and so many people giving so much advice. Eat this and move like this and sleep more and exercise more and don't do this. And it's so overwhelming to know what to do when it's really about taking care of yourself, that whole notion of self-care. And I constantly talk about senseless self-care versus strategic self-care. And I found myself doing the senseless things, which is what everyone was telling me to do. And realized that actually a lot of my patients were doing exactly the same thing. They were coming to me for a fix, which initially was in the form of a pill because I only had 10 minutes and that was the fastest fix I could give you. And then that penny drop moment when I realized that actually this is negligent care. This is not me being the doctor that I wanted to be at the age of 18 when I walked into medical school and thought, yes, I want to help people. It sounds so cliche, but it really isn't when it comes from the heart. And so I took a big switch into thinking about what helped me in terms of strategizing my self-care and how I could enable my patients to feel exactly the same, which took me away from that traditional primary care GP role of a pill for every ill and really helping people to understand that actually your health is in this podcast, is it's in your hands, isn't it?
I love the way you describe that journey, because I feel like every practitioner who enters like the more functional medicine or integrative, platform they have that individual, that personal experience that just opens their eyes to, wait a minute, what I was doing before doesn't help. It's not helping me. And where do I even begin to start to see this like other way of doing things and not just using, you know, a pill for every ill? I'm just curious, like, it's so overwhelming in the beginning too. You're absolutely right. It's like, where to even begin? Like, what kind of advice might you give to somebody who is not even in the medical world and doesn't have maybe the access to some of the information that maybe you did? Where do you tell somebody like where to begin in their process of healing?
Yeah, and again, another super interesting question, because I can relate this to my own journey as well, is that when I didn't know what to do, what did I turn to? And in fact, it was a few years later, but what I decided to do was to hold myself accountable to my own self-care. And I did this in a very simple way through social media. I had no idea what Instagram and Facebook were a number of years ago, but I held myself accountable to cataloging my journey for every day, to be something in my day that translated into caring for myself. And through that, and through all the conversations I'd had with patients, I think probably over 250,000 patients I've looked after, I actually put together what your listeners will find on my website, which I call the LQ test, which is your lifestyle quotient. So rather like your IQ to understand your intelligence and your EQ to understand your emotion, your LQ enables you to understand your lifestyle. And I've identified 10 very, very key areas in your lifestyle that you really need to optimize in all order to be your happiest, healthiest self and live the longest life. And I discovered some of these elements through my own journey. And one of the key ones was L for life's purpose. It's an acronym that spells lifestyle, and the L is life's purpose. Because what I knew about my patients, I knew everything about them. I knew where they were going on holiday, how many children they had, where they went to school, what their lives were like. But the one thing that I never asked them in my career was, what drives you? What motivates you? What matters to you? Which is why nobody left my consulting room after I said, yes, you know, well, the guidelines suggest you need 150 minutes of exercise every week. Off you go and do that. Nobody did. Nobody does, because they didn't know what drove them, to motivated them to take action, to optimize their health. I didn't even know if they had a pair of trainers, let alone anything else. So I've created this sort of 10-point plan, which really helps you to understand what those 10 areas in your lifestyle, purpose, identity, food, exercise, sleep, need to be those priority areas for you. Because we tend to ignore those big rocks, the ones we know we need to focus on, and we try and kind of do the smaller things that give us that little bit of an extra edge on the things we already enjoy doing. So it's just shifting that mindset a little.
I love that. And I love that it's almost, you know, this objective way to measure how you're doing versus this very like subjective, wishy-washy, day-to-day kind of thing. And I know you mentioned you use a lot of data to help drive health choices and health style intervention, lifestyle intervention, that kind of thing. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know, you know, CGMs, which our listeners probably might not even know what that is. Do you use those in your practice? And rings, wellness rings, you know, there's so much coming out, bracelets, Whoop, like all of that. So I'd love to hear, you know, if you use that in your practice, how so, what you found that to be helpful with, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, great. No, I'm so glad you brought this up, and kind of leading into that sense of quantification of the things that we almost already know. You know how you're feeling. You know, am I sad? Am I happy? Am I angry? If you pause to understand that. But the moment you put that on a scale, how happy am I right now? Minus 10 to plus 10. All right, maybe a plus 6. But what am I going to do to nudge that to a plus 7? Suddenly you've got somewhere to go with it. And that's what I love about the sort of quantification of health and the quantification of yourself as well. I think they're a very soft sort of emotive, qualitative markers that we use, but they don't give us a big enough nudge, a nudge to kind of move in the right direction. Sorry, you could probably hear my little dogs in the background there. So yeah, which is why I've sort of really started to use a lot more data to encourage health choices, because I'm sure you'd agree, we're living in an incredible time, aren't we? We've got access to so much bio data about ourselves that we didn't have a decade ago, 2 decades ago, a century ago. And here we are right now. We've got technology and AI and light-based technology and metabolic analysis and genetic testing and all sorts of gadgets and tools at our disposal to now use to our advantage. So rather than letting them control us, how can we use data and gadgets and tools to actually take very, very positive and personal health steps? Because I think the one thing I found through my medical practice over the years was a very sort of need to have a population approach. So almost a one size fits all. Here's a cholesterol lowering medication. Here's a statin because your cholesterol is too high. And here's something else to protect your heart because you're at risk of heart disease. But really understanding your own individual data gives you so much insight into your sort of moment to moment choices as well, which is great. So yes, we can talk about CGMs, continuous glucose monitoring, if that would be helpful. So your listeners may have seen these are little sensors that are often worn by patients with diabetes, particularly if they're needing insulin. And the technology has evolved so much for people with diabetes who are living with diabetes, from those finger prick blood tests and assessing how much insulin you need to inject, from very easy to use sensors that you can put on your arm and literally take your phone and tap, and you've got a really accurate reading for what you need to do next in terms of your food choices and your medication choices as well. So the question then arises is, how helpful is this for those who don't have diabetes to be proactive, as you said in the title of this show, to be really proactive about your health? And the one thing I've found is that with continuous glucose monitoring, it makes health fun. It makes actually food fun. It makes your choices fun, because I'm sure you'd agree we often, and it is serious, of course health is serious, but we add a real weight to the seriousness of health by not letting ourselves enjoy what we're doing, particularly when it comes to fun, to food. There's such a debate, isn't there? I'm sure you've had this throughout your podcast and conversations with others, all these debates about food. We're all talking about it at the bus stop over dinner, you know, in the evenings, and we're all constantly talking about food and have an opinion about it. So I do really like to utilize data to personalize food choices, to make food choices fun, and to consider things beyond food that are affecting you as well. So I guess sugar, I mean, a lot of people know about sugar, and it's sort of, yes, you know, it's the bad guy and no sugar. And there's a little bit of demonizing around sugar as well, isn't there? Is that the sugar and the carbs, and we should avoid those at all costs. But what's really important is that you know for yourself how sugar affects you, how carbohydrates affect you, how different plates of food affect you, because none of us will have the same response at all. So these lovely little devices, they don't even need a needle to inject into you. It's a little filament that you can attach with as a sensor on your arm. They're actually picking up the sugar levels in what's called your interstitial fluid. So it's the fluid that is going in between your blood cells. And that tells you your responsiveness to either what you've just eaten or how you've exercised or how you're metabolizing sugar. And if you do this, you'll actually learn so much about yourself, things you didn't even know, things that you'd made assumptions about. I know me and my husband did this quite recently. We both ate the same baked potato for a meal, and his sugar went whoosh, had a really high spike. Mine didn't. It was the same baked potato. And so it begs the question, is that what's the difference here? What's at play? Is it age? Is it just your different ring metabolism? Is it your differing energy levels? Is there genetics at play? And there is all of that. And so you can't really make the assumption. So using data, using your own information, you'll find that, I don't know if you've ever come across something called the Hawthorne effect. That's something you're familiar with. So the Hawthorne effect, for your listeners, is the effect that being watched has on you. And the moment you're being watched, you change your behavior. Mm-hmm. And we do this, and there's lots of great research studies that have been done on this as well. I must share one with the listeners. There's a university in the UK called Nottingham University. And what they found on this campus was they found that there were a lot of bike thieves around, lots of bicycle thefts. So they identified the three key areas on campus where the most thefts were taking place on. And what they did is they put these posters up on the walls in these three areas. And the poster was simply a poster of a pair of eyes looking outwards and just the words, "Cycle thieves, we are watching you." And what happened in these three areas was a 62% reduction in the number of thefts, simply by virtue of being watched. And so being watched has a big effect on what you do. And so you can use that, the Hawthorne effect, to your advantage when it comes to your health. You can allow your sensor, your CGM, your continuous glucose monitor, to watch you and utilize that information to change your behavior. I can guarantee you, when you see that sugar spike, you won't want to reach for the chocolate or the cake. You just won't, because there's data there that's giving you information about yourself, and the highs and the lows and all of it. So really, really useful. So it's something that I use with my clients a lot. We'll put on monitors for 2 weeks out of every month. And I find that people, those first few weeks, they're kind of, it's a discovery period. They're just kind of, you know, understanding food and how it affects them more. And the next time they put it on, the next month, they're just much more intuitive in terms of their kind of food choices. And it makes a big, big difference, because we know how sugars, it affects diabetes influences heart risk, cardiovascular risk, risk of developing Alzheimer's as well, cancers, gut health. It all comes back to your sugar response. So a really, really important thing to track for sure.
Yeah, it definitely adds that level of accountability. And I almost feel a little fearful of putting it on because then, you know, I'm actually going to know what my diet is doing to me. And maybe I'm going to really realize how many changes I need to make. But also exactly how you said it, like, takes away the guessing piece to it. And it personalizes the information that you're getting. You know, there is no one size fits all. And that baked potato could be a great food for one person, and it could impact another person in somewhat of a negative way, depending on their ability to control blood sugar. And I think that's where people get so confused, understandably, is because, you know, you search information online and, you know, you see an expert's telling you to do one thing, and then you go on another website and it's other experts and they tell you to do the exact opposite thing. Mm-hmm. And I always say the reason you see these contradictory in types of information is because they are trying to put everyone in like sort of this protocol, this box where everybody is the same and no one is the same, you know?
Yeah.
I'm also really glad that you emphasized the many different types of conditions that are connected to not being able to best or optimally control your blood sugar. Because I don't think, you know, we realize it could cause diabetes. I think that's like the sort of the first connection that everybody makes. But really, when you're not able to control your blood sugar, it's a sign of sort of this underlying type of inflammation, really. And that is the, you know, root cause for so many kind of long-term, you know, chronic conditions and things. So how do you describe that like connection of like insulin resistance or, you know, not being able to control blood sugar with that, all those types of chronic conditions to help people understand?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of pathophysiological processes that are going on. You mentioned inflammation as a key process, and that is at the root of, I think, the majority of physiological responses that are triggering pretty much everything else going on in our bodies. And I love this word inflammaging as well, because again, one thing listeners probably aren't familiar with is that it's the inflammation that then speeds up and accelerates aging. So actually what you're doing by not really optimizing your sugar is triggering those inflammatory responses in your body that mean that you create an accelerated aging pathway. And who wants that? You want it to be opposite and really, really slow that down. And your sugar metabolism is a very key way of doing that. And you talked about optimizing as well. And I think it's really important for us to think about that, because we all want good health. But what we should be aiming for is great health. Right. Like optimized health, which is why all that fine tuning is really important. There may be listeners thinking, hey, you know, I'm fine, I feel okay. I know there's no diabetes in my family, and everyone's got no heart disease. I'm doing okay. I get up in the morning and get on with my day. But that fine-tuning is so, so important, that minute-to-minute information that you've got access to. It's a bit like a pianist who plays a piano and then says, but I don't need a piano tuner, right? You need the tuner to give you the most optimal sound that you can get from your piano. You ignore that tuner and that fine tuning, you're not going to be playing any great tunes any day soon. So really, really important to think about, do I want good health? Do I want great health? We want great health, right? We want that energy. And remember, sugar comes back down to energy. It is about energy. It's food as information. It's food as fuel. It's food for fun as well, which is what I allude to. But you know, that sense of energy, your brain, 25% of the glucose we have is utilized by the brain. So we need that. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, the optimization, which so many people are walking around and have absolutely no idea how bad they actually feel. Like, I get a lot of clients where once we start working together, they're just like, I can't even believe how bad I used to feel. Like, I know that I was like a little bit off or maybe not the best, but then once they're feeling, you know, optimized, they're so much better. And then they go back to something that they used to do and they're like, wow, that affected me so much more because you didn't have anything to compare it to. So that optimization and that, you know, striving and reaching to be the best version of yourself and health and all other aspects of your life, I think that's really important to, you know, tell people because quite frankly, I think a lot of people are settling and they don't have to settle. And so I think, you know, with these tools, obviously nutrition, lifestyle, that kind of thing, you want to address that. But sometimes these tools that allow you to really fine tune for your unique biochemistry, genetics, age, you know, lifestyle, that can really take you to the next step. So it's super fascinating. And I'm actually like really excited to see in the next few years where this goes, because you're starting to see more and more people use CGM and they have like the Oura ring, which is a ring that you wear that like tracks your sleep. Oh, you have one. I really want to try one.
Of course, that's not even a question. Of course I have one. I'm a data-driven health doctor. So.
I love it.
Absolutely. And you know, this is the beauty. This is in our fingertips. It's something beautiful that you can wear that actually is giving you information about yourself. And again, this is not just, you know, the non-useful information. This is really important insights. If you look at something like sleep, which these wellness rings are absolutely the precision with which they're able to report this now, because again, people sacrifice sleep so much, don't they? I know we've had a pandemic and a number of epidemics, but you know, the epidemic of sleep deprivation has been around for a long time. And again, the impacts of that in terms of cognition, memory, mood, weight, you know, we often don't put the connection together. You just say, oh, I didn't sleep so well last night. Oh, I'm a bit tired. Oh, I'm a little bit ratty. But you don't make the connection together. Oh, and again, when you've got data like this, giving you that connection and telling you, well, how much time did you spend in deep sleep? How much time did you spend in dream sleep? And we need both, right? We need the dream sleep for the memory and the cognition processing. We need the deep sleep for the gut regeneration. All of these are important functions, but you wake up too early, you miss out on a whole load of dream sleep. You go to bed too late, you miss out on a whole load of deep sleep. So it's really important to really think about quantity and quality of sleep, and data devices like the rings are really kind of leading the way into this. And I genuinely believe, just like we're now getting used to things like fitness trackers and step counters and things, and many people have got another device, you know, things like we're getting used to that. I do believe CGMs and wellness rings are going to become as commonplace, because that important prevention piece is so, so key. And not just prevention, we're not just living to prevent ourselves from getting ill, we're living to be proactive in our lives and be our most sort of energetic, vital versions, aren't we?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I like we've been talking about, I think it just serves as that much more motivation, where if someone sees, you know, oh, they had some wine before bed, like how did they sleep, versus not having wine and taking a bath, or like even blue light before bed and how they slept, and all of these things that you don't feel like, you know, if you don't have the data, that it's actually making that big of a difference. But I've heard from people, you know, that have these things where it's like, wow, I notice a huge difference. And then I look at my phone and I look at the stats and it's like so much more motivation for me to really do the things that make me feel amazing and feel really good. And to your point with the prevention thing, like I would hope, you know, that we get to a place where with our healthcare model, like there's so much more emphasis on these prevention trackers and really helping, you know, more people get CGMs. Before we got on, Stacey and I were talking about that, because at least in the US, I think it's pretty tricky to get one unless you're actually diagnosed with diabetes or pre-diabetes. I know there's some companies out there that do offer them. I'm not quite sure how that works, but I would hope that it would turn into the kind of thing where like anyone can just go and get it and, you know, find out for themselves and take their health into their own hands, because really that's going to, you know, save the healthcare companies, you know, so much money and just like make everyone that much healthier. So yeah, it's really fascinating.
I think the prediction now is sort of 1 in 10 people currently have, you know, talk about diabetes with sugar, but that's the sort of current. I mean, that is only set to rise, the number of millions of people that are destined to have diabetes in the next decade is incredible. And I think you're right. Hopefully, you know, companies are doing a lot more to make these devices much more accessible. And they certainly have in the UK. And I know there's issues around insurance in the US, and in the UK, we have the NHS and free access to certain things, but not to everything. But we can now buy the CGMs directly. They're not licensed as such for non-diabetes use, but as you say, you know, the information is there waiting for us. And I certainly know for myself, I mean, it's a choice. There are choices in life, and we choose which ones we make. And I know this is another debate that we could be having, but I, for example, I used to go and get my hair blow dried every week because I loved that, and I loved someone looking after my hair, and I made a choice to swap out the money that I would spend on my weekly blow dry to the money that I'm going to spend on a CGM. And so I purchased them and used that because actually that's really, really important to my health. And yeah, I can wash my
hair. Your hair looks beautiful.
A little bit tongue in cheek, but I'm just sort of, the point I'm trying to make, I think, is just we have choices, and you have to know your motivator and your driver that is going to drive you to really want to optimize the health in the way that we've been chatting about today.
I think it's another important piece to this is a benefit of having this kind of CGM data early on, like way before you're ever diagnosed with pre-diabetes or diabetes, is that when we just see the little imbalances, you know, when we catch them way earlier than they ever show up on like a routine blood work as high blood sugar, if we can catch these things earlier on, they are much easier to reverse, you know. So we're really talking about preventative medicine here versus, you know, just reactive, you know, yeah, once you're diagnosed.
Yeah. And one of the tests your doctor would do to sort of check your sugar control as such is the test called the HbA1c, which gives you an indication of what the range has been perhaps for the last 3 months or 6 months. But what it doesn't tell you is what all that variability was like. And it's the variability that then is causing the lows, are causing the brain fog and the headaches, and the little highs are causing the damage to your blood vessels and the lining of your carotid intima, the lining of your blood vessels. And you won't get that answer by just having a once a year annual health check or something like that from your doctor. So, you know, there's an even more poignancy about this whole preventative piece. No one wakes up one day and just has diabetes. No one wakes up in the middle of the night and just has an MI or a heart attack. You know, those telltale signs have been there for a long time. And what we can now do is capture the data about ourselves in a really fun and interesting, personalized way that strategizes self-care, so that you've got all that intelligence. Your body's sending you signals out constantly, isn't it? Those hunger signals, the satiety signals, your mood signals, your energy signals, the number signals that we can now capture as well. So it's our job to utilize it all.
Yeah. To bring you back to something that you said much earlier on in the podcast, where you know, said that some of the first steps in self-care is to kind of wake up in the morning and ask yourself what is driving you. And I'm curious if we sort of connect that topic with what we're talking about now with data and measuring your CGM. And from somebody that has a CGM, like, do you feel that you can kind of connect your mindset to these results on your CGM? Like, do you feel that, because I'm always, you know, thinking about that kind of question, like, what is your mind really in charge of your physical self? And are your ailments, you know, can you, is it like mind over matter type thing? Like, what comes first, you know, your physical issues or your mindset, or vice versa? So I'm wondering how you can connect those kind of two different things.
Yeah, and I've asked that same question to many of my clients as well. And some people are driven by their physicality. And once their physicality changes, their mood changes and their motivation changes. And others are driven by the motivation and the mindset coming first to allow the physicality to change and be different. But in terms of kind of understanding that a little bit more. What I do and what I coach most of my clients to do as well, we talk about sort of really setting your intention as soon as you wake up in the morning. That first thing that you do when you wake up is to really understand your driving force for the day, to set that tone for your day as well. So there are six little questions that I ask myself every morning. I've been doing this for a long time. It doesn't take very long. So I'll quickly share that if we've got a bit of time. But it's a little formula I have, which is called Dreams to Success. So the D is the question that says, what difference, D for difference, what difference do I want to make to someone today? The R is ready. So how ready am I for the day ahead today? The E is energy, which may fit well with what we've been talking about, is what energy do I want to radiate out to the world today? And then you'll know that depending on what energy you want to radiate, you're going to have to take some steps to do that. So that's D-R-E. The A, and again, this may point us in the right direction as well, is what affirmation am I making about myself today? I am energetic. I am healthy. I am calm. I am kind. I am grateful. What is that affirmation about myself that I just want to flavor my day with today? And you can sprinkle that throughout the day. And M is the motivation. What is motivating me today? And S is self-care. What is one thing I'm doing for my self-care today? So these are six little questions that don't take more than a minute or two in the morning. They're the first thing that you ask yourself, and then you can really set the day and get out of bed with a smile on your face once you've asked yourself these questions every morning.
I love that. And I love all your acronyms. I think that's so great to help you remember. But also, I think so many people, and sometimes I fall into this trap as well, like you wake up and you just roll out of bed and you like dive into your day and you don't take a moment to reflect and really set the stage and set your energy. And I love that you include affirmations. I use those a lot with clients too, because they're so powerful. And it really, really changes the energy for the day and changes your perspective and your mindset, which I truly, the more I learn about nutrition and health and everything, like it really comes down to mindset and, you know, perspective. Like those two things are so huge. So I love that you really make an intention to start every day with that and you have your clients do that, because that's truly must make such a big difference, rather than just telling someone, okay, do this, eat that, you know, work out here, whatever. That might work for the short term, but I think for sustainable lifestyle changes, people end up, you know, quote, falling off the wagon. And so, you know, setting the stage earlier and really creating it more of a lifestyle and mindset, I think is really powerful. So that's awesome. I know you had mentioned, you know, we talked about inflammation and aging, and I know you work with working on like biological aging and helping people kind of decrease their biological age. Can you talk a little bit about that? That's just a super fascinating field that, again, I don't think we've talked about yet, Stacey, on the podcast, but, you know, the aging process, I think a lot of people just assume like, okay, well, I'm getting older, so all these ailments are coming. I'm going to feel like crap. That's just how it is. I'm going to gain weight. I'm going to have no energy. And that's just life. And it's like, that is so far from the truth. So can you touch on that and why that's not actually the reality, and maybe some tips for people to help reverse that and stop that process?
Sure. Oh, we could do a whole new episode.
I know.
A huge topic, but I think the one distinction to leave listeners with today is the distinction between getting older and aging, and the understanding that they are two different things completely. So getting older, it is part of the passage of time. It is inevitable. We cannot control the rotations of the earth and the sun and the moon and the light and the day. So there is this sense of the passage of time when it comes to getting older. But aging is very, very different. Aging is a physiological process. Aging is your chromosomes breaking down. It's your cells reacting. And that physiology is something that we have so much control over, and it all comes down to what we've been talking about on this show already, which is your lifestyle. Your lifestyle is that one trigger for inflammation, which then triggers inflammaging. And there's a lot of sort of scientific conversation going on now about how the disease is aging, and then it's aging that then results in the diabetes and the heart disease and the cancers and the depression and the anxiety. So if we could change that aging process, which we can now, because we can measure it, not just by the candles on your cake, but measure your cellular level aging, which is what I do, which is paramount. It's one of the key sort of vital signs. I call them your vital signs that I measure in all of my clients. And you won't get your ordinary day-to-day GPs who've been used to traditional medicine doing this. But there's a reason that I do it, is I measure your biological age, again, because of the data and the number that will give you the nudge, because you want to change that. We all want age, whatever that age is, however much we embrace in getting older, there's something about wanting to reverse that clock and kind of regain that vitality of our youth. Yes, retain the wisdom of your years, but regain that vitality. So my biological age, I've reversed by 30 years, which is all through strategizing self-care and, you know, zoning in on my lifestyle and personalizing what I need. And many of my clients have done the same by focusing on their data, by focusing on their drivers, by making decisions that are connected to their data and what drives them as well. And that's been really, really very key. So so that's the key thing. But yes, let me come back and talk to you about age reversal at length. That'll be a really fun conversation to have as well.
I'm sure Leah and I agree that we would love to have you back for that topic. And that is a huge topic that there's not a single person who would not be interested in. And I feel like you've given so many amazing tips already through this, you know, half hour or so that you've spoken, but two or three quick takeaways that you would give to our listeners that they can start today. And they could be some of the things you already said, but just kind of key points that you would say, you know, end our podcast with.
Oh gosh, that's the trick question of it. It's probably things I've already alluded to, Stacey. I think the first thing is to not be senseless about your self-care. Don't opt for off-the-shelf care. You want to be strategic about your self-care. You need to really personalize what you do. So the next time you're scrolling on Instagram or Facebook and see that, I'll try that, really think, is this relevant to me? And try and understand that. The second thing I talked about at the beginning was knowing your starting point. So take that LQ test, find out which area of your lifestyle to pay attention to, which is where, what is calling out for you, and then zone in on that. We all try to do too much, which is why we end up doing too little. So think about, what is that one area in my lifestyle that is calling out to me right now? And then the third thing, of course, is use the data to make your changes. But I really want people to have fun with their health. I want you to just enjoy utilizing information about you. Be curious about what your body is telling you, what your mind is telling you, what signals you're receiving, what information that you can access, and really enjoy treating your health. As I say in my TEDx talk, treat your health as a skill that you can continue to optimize.
I love that. And I love the focus on fun and joy and bringing that lightness to it when it can feel so heavy for so many people. Thank you so much, Dr. Patel. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yes, of course. So my website is dralkapatel.com. So that's going to be the easiest place to find me. There's a contact me button on there. Very, very happy to chat to anybody who wants to get in touch. All my socials as well, Dr. Alka Patel UK. So you can message me through those as well. Those will be the easiest places to find me.
Thank you so much for being here. You've explained everything so beautifully and your passion is just so contagious. So I think our listeners are really going to appreciate the information you shared. And like I said before, we'd love to have you back on talking about inflammaging and aging and longevity and all of that. So thank you. Have a good rest of the day, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for listening. If you found this episode helpful, we'd love if you left a rating and review and shared it with someone else who would find it helpful. You can find more information about Leah at gracefunctionalnutrition.com and get in touch with her through email at leah@gracefunctionalnutrition.com or on Instagram at gracefunctionalnutrition. To find more information about Stacey, you can find her at healfromfood.com, email her at stacey@healfromfood, or on social media at healfromfood. See you next time.